Hey there, it's Jenny. And before we get started on today's podcast, I just want to send a very special invitation to you to join me and niche specialist Jason Wheeler for an exclusive webinar happening on May 21st. We're diving into the Elemental Marketing System. It's the ultimate guide to scaling your consulting, your coaching, or any service-based business pretty effortlessly. During the session that we're going to have, you're going to uncover the secrets of attracting and converting your ideal clients, optimizing your lead generation strategies, and really unlocking the full potential of your marketing efforts. If you're ready to propel your business forward and really get to those amazing heights and sustainable growth, then this is the training for you. Go ahead and reserve your spot today. You can go to growandprofitonline.com/lead-gen-class. Can't wait to see you there. Hi, this is the Acquire Podcast from the Odd Phonic Podcast Network, and I'm Jenny Wright. This is the podcast that delves deep into the world of list building and online events, and it is designed to empower entrepreneurs and marketers with the knowledge and strategies to master these essential business growth tactics. And we're going to have a good time today. We have Julia Block-Pearson here. Julia, say hi.
Hello, everybody. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And you are the dynamic CEO of Stratos Creative Marketing, and you are here on the Acquire Podcast. This is really great. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Julie. So Julie's expertise lies in crafting impactful marketing strategies and resonating deeply with businesses and forging genuine connections with their customers. You and your team actually have cracked the code for lead generation, steering businesses away from the frustration of aimless marketing efforts and guiding them towards a formula that not only brings more leads, but significantly boosts revenue. I like this part. From humble beginnings as a freelancer back in 2018. I wrote this whole thing. Julie has masterfully expanded her marketing agency, now boasting a remote team of 11 talented individuals spread across the country. And drawing from your experience working with nonprofits, Julie has recognized the dire need for DIY social media strategies due to budget constraints. Very timely. And her team has since developed groundbreaking DIY processes that have empowered brands to excel on social media platforms. This is really cool. I am very excited for this conversation.
I'm excited for this conversation too. This is like an amazing person you get to talk to.
And so just for clarity, you and I are in very similar spaces. So we're going to be able to kind of delve deep. And I always talk about this. I am in this for collaboration, not competition. So in the spirit of that, I love talking to people who technically would be my competition, but I don't look at it that way. You don't look at it that way either, I think, right?
Nope, absolutely not.
Good. All right. That means we can have, I mean, I think that, you know, there's room for all of us in this space. And by talking to people who are doing exactly what I'm doing or similar or slightly different, that we can find really cool things. We can collaborate, we can grow, we can do good stuff. So on that note, let's talk about lead generation.
Let's do it. So I am obsessed with lead generation. And I can tell you a little bit about how we got into it. Because originally, like you said, I was a freelancer. I started like doing social media and I loved doing it, but I started realizing that my clients were not getting the wins they wanted or expected with organic alone. Some of them just wanted proof of life, and I am all for that. Like, let's just like show that like your business is still alive on social media, especially because more and more, especially younger generations are using social in the same way they might Google things. And so if you don't show up, then people, it posits questions as to whether the business is still alive. So that's where we started getting into lead generation and using social ads. And I love what you said, Jenny, about collaboration over competition, because I would not be where I am if it were not for all of these excellent other social marketers and ads marketers who have helped me craft like our methodology. Like, I think that it's, I'm standing, like they say, like you're standing on the backs of other people, but like I really am. There are like key people who have helped me develop what we do now.
Absolutely. I've been doing this since 2012. I've been doing this since 2012, and couldn't get to where I am now without sort of like one of my friends called it, not her board of directors, what did she call it? Her board of advisors.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she has this board of advisors. She puts a lot of stuff in front of them. She says, thank you for being patient with me while I figure this stuff out. And mm-hmm. it helps you grow. Like I have my own little mini board of advisors. My partner is at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, Katie Brinkley, she's a social media strategist. Mm-hmm. She's been essential. And then there's a whole bunch of other people in there as well. It's essential, I think. And to get further into sort of this lead generation piece, I love it too. I'm like obsessed uh-huh. with lead gen, email marketing, how we get there, all the different things. And what I love is that every year somebody's like, brand new way to lead gen. I'm like, you're lying. It's not brand new. It's exactly right. the same. You just painted it a different color. What do you uh-huh. think about when people come out and say, oh, there's this brand new way of lead gen or this brand new way of acquiring new leads?
So I think when people say that, it is clickbait. Like that is like, so for everybody listening, like when people tell you there's a brand new thing, it generally is because if you hear like, oh, it's brand new, I have to have like the brand new. And so I get why they do it. But I agree with you. I would prefer, we use a lot more messaging of like tried and true or tested, like things mm-hmm. like that, because brand new might be great. And even if it was new, that might be great. Like it might be a great new lead generation like avenue, but I want something that works. I don't care if it's new or if it's old, like quite frankly. And I think that there are like tried and tested like ways to generate leads, whether it's through social, through networking, like there's so many different ways, but like why reinvent the wheel with something that is uncertain when we have something that we know that works?
It just feels like people are considering that they have like a short attention span, or the worry is we always have to have something new, fresh, brash. Totally. And you know, at the base of all of these different types of like brand new marketing or brand new lead gen, mm-hmm. there's still the basis, or there's still the thing that all of our lead gens are based off of, right? Like you said, like it's, you know, lead magnets. They're not going anywhere, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Online events. Awesome. People have always said, summits are dead. No, they're not. Are you kidding me? Right. No. Mm-hmm. Email marketing is no longer, email marketing is going nowhere.
Like, no. I mean, nowhere. At least in the States, we just went through Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and like, I cannot tell you, like, I didn't look at my email, and the next morning I had 140 emails from just right? random people. And I also unsubscribed from half of them, yep. but, it is not dead.
No, it's not dead. And on the Black Friday, and at the time we're recording this, it is right after that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I don't participate in them anymore. I mm-hmm. look for really good deals all year round. No shade to people who do Black Friday or Cyber Monday. If you did them, have at it.
Totally. Yeah.
I find it, I'm a Canadian. I find it very overwhelming to totally. Have it. We only have had Black Friday and Cyber Monday in Canada for a shorter period of time than you guys have. And so I personally just don't, like, I find it overwhelming to get 6 emails in one day from one person.
Totally. I totally agree. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
we do, we do a Black Friday, Cyber Monday light version, but I also have like really been thinking about what does it mean to live life at ease? And I think that's mm-hmm. without digital clutter. And so, and guys, like, I am like a social media strategist. I like help people with email marketing, but I also am like, how do we live like our best lives personally? And I think that subscribing to the emails that you find valuable is like where it's at. Because I did buy a few things, but they were all from small businesses that I am like, oh, I've always loved this. Yes. Or it was something that I have been thinking about for 6 months. Yes. And I was like, I'm not in a hurry to buy it. Let me see what they come out with on Black Friday. And mm-hmm. so things like that. I think that's like a healthier way to consume, like rather mm-hmm. than just like pressing buttons like the day of.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm literally the same as you in terms of that. There was something I wanted to buy for my partner, and when I was at the store a couple of weeks ago, I was going to go buy it, and the person at the cash register said, "If you wait 2 weeks, we have a Black Friday sale, and you can save like 25%." I'm like, "Please put this back on the shelf. I will do that." And I did, but I knew I was going to buy it. It was something I knew I was going to buy, right?
For sure.
So I don't have the I didn't have the whole like crazy, you gotta look for deals. Now, I know people who do it. One of my best
Oh yeah.
friends does it. She is crazy for it. And I'm like, have at it. She's like, I got a blender for like 45% off. I'm like, you go, girl. Like, have the best day of your life doing that stuff. It's just not me. Not me.
Nope.
All right.
My
Let's talk
husband does
about
too.
the evolution of the DIY process. So you developed this innovative DIY sort of social media process. I don't know a ton about it. I want to know everything about it. Can you give us a glimpse as to what it is and how it works?
Yeah, for sure. So at Stratos, like our whole mission is to help improve business owners' lives in relationship to their social medias. Because I find just last week I had two conversations with people, and both of them, the first few things out of their mouth was, I hate social media, but I know that I need it. And I think that we are, a lot of us are in that boat. That's why I'm obsessed with proof of life social media marketing, because I'm like, sometimes that's all you need. Like, if you're not an e-commerce brand, you just need to like put something out there so people know that you're in business, you're taking clients, et
You're still
cetera.
alive. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
Yeah.
for a while, like we do done for you social media, and that's all we were doing for a while. But I would have these excellent business owners who were so passionate about what they did, but didn't have the budget for our done for you services. And so this DIY process has been in development slash in my thoughts for probably 3 years, trying to figure out a way that I can make something that is low cost, still personalized, but is still good. And so we have like what we call the DIY Social Club. And it's for people who mainly service-based businesses, but we also have like a track for nonprofits and another one for creative entrepreneurs, where every month you get, we have like a scheduling software. We deliver 12 templates into your software. They're all editable. So some of them are like fill in the blanks. And so all you have to do is like put your business name in, like put who your clients are,
That's
like
really
how do you
cool.
serve them? And like those are the templates. And then we also have Canva graphic templates that you can go in and change the colors. You can change the fonts. You can change the pictures. But basically, our clients who have been doing it for a while, the first couple of times it takes like a couple hours, but now they can sit down and plan a whole month of content in one sitting. And some of them can do it in 1 hour. And so what I love about this is that I have a client who's an author, I have a client who's like a therapist, and I have a client who is an accounting software. So like three totally different things. They get these templates, they personalize them for themselves, and then they put them out to the world. I see them, and because I created them, I know that they're all like our templates, but nobody else has any idea because it looks like they just spent a lot of time on their social media. And so we've kind of hacked the system for DIYers because we wanted something that was low cost, didn't like take a ton of time investment, because we know that we need social media, but it like sucks our time and our energy. And so this has been a really, really cool, it started as an experiment, but now it's like a full-fledged social club where we can offer that to DIYers.
That
So
is really cool.
yeah, we love it. So
That's awesome. How long you've been running it?
For like a year, and I'll be honest with everybody, when we launched it, it fell flat on its face. So I
Okay.
just want to normalize the fact that launches happen and they don't go great.
Okay, now I
And
want to
so
hear about the launch.
well, we like we had done ads, we had done lead generators. So going circling back to lead generators, like our lead generator was 101 social media prompts. Great lead generator. Everybody loves it. I was getting new emails for like 29 cents an email. So just ridiculous. Like, and so here I was like, oh, I have this massive list. Let me launch the DIY club to it. Here's the thing though, and this is what we discovered, is people who want social media prompts are usually because they are true DIYers and they want to make it from scratch, or they are people who are considering doing social media. But it is harder to take somebody from doing nothing to doing something than to take like clients who were scraping by with their social media and offering them a better product. So that's what we learned, was like those people on that list, 101 social media prompts, were a great list, but not for this offer. Yeah. And so it fell different flat niche. On its face. Mm-hmm. Yep. It fell flat on its face. Like, we sell them something else now. Like, but it took a minute, because for the first couple months, I had thought, oh, people can make the jump from 101 social prompts to the DIY club, and they can't. I needed to find the people who were doing social media but hated the process, mm-hmm. or like didn't know what they were doing, and were just fumbling through it, and taking them to get like a good product rather than take people who were doing nothing.
Where'd you find them and how?
So we actually decided to make it a slower process. Our DIY club started really, really small, and it's slowly growing, but incrementally. We actually are doing more and more of it through affiliates. Mm-hmm. Like, I have other marketers who have signed up to become an affiliate and help their clients do it. We also niche down. Originally, like, there was just like the DIY club for all social people. And then we were realizing this works better for service-based businesses. And oh yeah, we have nonprofits that are really good candidates, but theirs are slightly different. Like, their calls to action aren't like buy more. Their calls to action are donate. And so mm-hmm. we niched down a little bit. And then we also have done it through our sales calls. And that's how we've slowly grown it, is when people come to me asking for social media and then they find out our pricing and are like, oh, that's out of my budget. We say, how about this? And then we offer them the DIY social club. So it's made it a slower process, but it has made it really effective, because now the people that are in it are referring their friends and family. So like, okay. That's, I just needed to get like some mass to like start it moving. And now we're seeing like, better growth than we did at the beginning. So
okay. And do you think that, like, give it a year, give it 2 years, that the DIY marketing, like the DIY social club, is going to be your main income driver for the business, or is it going to continue to be like a good ancillary?
That is a great question. I don't totally know. I don't think it's going to be like our full-fledged business. Mm-hmm. Because we still love doing done for you work. But my hope is that it might get to a place where it's 50-50. Because as business owners, we all know, like, if you have retainers or passive income, you can make better decisions about your finances. And so that's the hope and the goal, is that this will become like a platform by which we can make better financial decisions. In addition to, like, we already have like a really good base of retainers for a done for you, but I'm hoping that this will help cover more overhead, like more assistance, things like that, more staffing, so that we can do better work for everybody. So
okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how TBD. Open you, yeah, TBD, right? I had a membership once a couple of years ago, yeah. And it didn't work.
Yeah,
it didn't work. So let me talk to, I want to ask you about like attrition. So people coming yeah. into the DIY social club, like, how long is your average person staying? And if you're not comfortable with any of this, you don't have to answer any of it.
Oh, I'm happy to. I'm going to be honest, I don't really actually know the numbers. But I would say we had like our beta trial users, and none of them stayed. So like None of
Was
them
this like, when was
stayed.
this?
It was like at the very, very beginning. So like before I launched it and I had a failed launch. So like we went through like beta launch.
Wow.
People loved it, but weren't willing to pay for it. Then we did our launch. Nobody bought it. And so I was like scratching my head because I was like, people tell me that they need something like this, but why is it not working? And so then we did everything else that we told you about.
And in the timeline, like, when is this happening? Is this happening in 2023 or 2022 or?
This happened like at the beginning of 2023. Yeah.
Okay.
We launched it like, I think we like started our beta testers at the end of 2022. And then we did the launch 2023 thinking mm-hmm. like, okay, like we can capitalize on like, oh, now you have like new social media goals. Yeah, that didn't work either.
Yeah.
And so I would say our longest standing member has been in for 8 months.
Nice.
Since like we were successfully sold.
mm-hmm.
Our highest like purchase month, like you could say, we had 3 or 4 people enroll. So like not a ton, but like
okay.
also like this is like a $300 membership. It's not like a $50
yeah.
membership.
And
so
course.
Like so but what's nice about that is that we've been able to figure out the kinks as we've gone, and our members are getting like more personalized attention right now while we do that. And so they've entered all at like a really great time. So I would say if I was to average like our beta testers and all these people, I would probably say like 3 months and climbing, mainly because
Good.
We have a couple people who've been in there for 6 to 8 months at this point, and they're helping up our average. So
yeah, well, and thanks for answering those questions and being
yeah.
so transparent. I mean, a $300 a month membership is up there, but for, I mean, I'm on your sales page.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value built in. And if, you know, based on how much it costs to hire a social media manager who's got the full team, who's going to do the full implementation, right? That's a really good cost savings if you don't want that.
Totally. Like
yeah.
our done for you services start at $1,000.
And that's
and
average.
So,
that's average
yeah.
right now. Yeah.
And I would say like we are on the more expensive side also, like because
mm-hmm.
our top like top package is $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our clients like end up around like the $1,500 mark. And so for those people who are like, gosh, it is not worth me like spending $1,500 on my social, like I think the DIY Club $300 is like a really easy yes for a lot of people. So
yeah. What are you going to do to grow?
That's a great question. So right now, we in 2024, we are revamping our own lead generators because I'm like, there has to be a lead generator or a lead magnet that gets me closer to the purchaser than like my 101 social media prompts.
Yeah,
so
you need to
we're
reduce that gap.
Right. So we're working on reducing the gap. Like, what does it take for somebody to download a freebie and then say yes? And so I'm working on that. We're also working on creating operationally, like the systems, like how do we do it faster, better, easier.
Yep.
For like my staff.
Cost less money, do all that kind of
then
thing.
Then it costs less money, then I make more money. And so on it, which then means we can invest more, et cetera, et cetera. Most of us are business owners, so we get it.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of our goals for 2024. In the future, I would love to have like 10 different tracks that were like, because right now we have the service-based businesses, we have creative entrepreneurs, and we have nonprofits. I would love to have something like healthcare specialists where chiropractors and physical therapists could be served. Maybe like automotive specialists where like I would love to have more tracks to be able
mm-hmm.
to serve more people. My business coach is like niche down. And I'm like, how about I just have like a lot of little ones, like a lot of little niches.
Oh, that hurts me a little bit.
I get it. And so like everybody falls different places for niching.
Yeah.
And so that's where I personally struggle, because my own personality loves helping as many people as possible. And so it's hard for me to say no.
I get it. I totally get it. But yeah. I mean, I'm gonna sing alongside your business coach for a second, because I think you have to perfect what you're doing in this one space and crack the nut or crack the code or whatever euphemism you want to use. And then it makes getting into those different tracks so much easier. It creates like for creating sure. those different verticals. Mm-hmm. And you're probably, from the sound of it, you're probably pretty close. I love failure. Yeah. I love a failed launch. I freaking love it, because it's demoralizing in a way, or, you know, it can be whatever you want it to be,
it's
but
awful. So it's actually, I felt awful. Like,
And I'm glad you felt awful, but because for the only fact that eventually you'll be like, crap, I got to pick myself up. I got to figure this out. I got to try something different. I got to be innovative and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's this, I mean, not to be, you know, clickbaity or anything like that, or just be, you know, saying something for the sake of saying it. But as business owners, we thrive or survive from the resilience, right? Like, this is not an easy job. You've been doing this since 2018. I've been doing it since 2012. It takes some gumption.
A lot of grit. Yeah, for
sure. And a lot of grit. So even though you failed and it sucked and it probably kicked you back a couple feet, right? And you're like, what the hell am I doing? And you probably went to your partner or your husband. And you're like, what the frack? But
for sure.
Yeah. But look at you. Look at what you're doing now, right? So you're being inventive and all those kinds of things. That's why I love failure.
I agree. And I think I agree with you. Like, when I think like that, going back to the niching, I do think that you are right. I will say this, and so is my business coach. Those tracks, I don't think will happen for a while, because I'm like, we got to actually make money before I make new things.
but isn't it the fun part? Like, I want to make all the new things.
I know. And that's like, I think also like the grit is what it takes like an entrepreneur to survive. I also think the innovation, the new ideas, like we are built to create things. I was at a seminar recently and they talked about the three crucial people to grow like a business into like a corporation eventually, was a operations person who can work out systems, things like that. The artist who like creates things, and then the entrepreneur who has like the vision. And I can't decide if I'm like more in the artist camp or more in the entrepreneur, because I am like, I have the vision as the entrepreneur, but I also love coming up with products and services. And so it was like a really interesting question to posit myself. I know that I have no operational bone in me, which is why we have like an operations expert on our team. So that was like a really easy answer. But I think that as entrepreneurs, we have to have vision. And to some extent, we are also artists, because we're also creating things to solve and fulfill that vision. So
totally. And I know we went on a deep dive on like your stuff. I kind of want to like pull it into a different direction for a second. And thank you for being so transparent.
Oh, of course. Anytime.
So you have a lot of storytelling sort of impact in the things that you've done, right? So you know, when you were a solo freelancer and now you've got your team, right? Tell me about the power of storytelling, how it can make such a massive difference, right? So you're talking about doing social media with intent so that you're not spending all of your life on it. How does storytelling sort of play into that? Can it help you create that balance of not having to be on it all the time?
Mm-hmm, for sure. I think it does. One of my favorite authors is a good friend of mine. Her name is Susan Payton. She writes the book, The Business of Stories. And she has just done a phenomenal job of like helping people tell their stories. I think that for me personally, I use this phrase a lot. We are humans first and workers second. And so I have all of these like human stories happening. I also have all of these working stories. And I think that when people come along for the ride. They're enraptured by both of those stories. And so I can tell you the story of how I started Stratos after being sexually harassed and not having a CEO believe me and a bunch of other people. And so that's why I set off on my own. That will probably speak to people in a room of who have also been disrespected and decided to take their own journey into their own hands. I can also tell you like the story of how my daughter was in the NICU for the first 3 months of her life. The NICU is the neo intensive care unit. And during that time, we lost a bunch of clients. And so my husband and I were paying for our payroll out of our own pocket because we had too many life priorities happening all at once. And when I tell that story, and there are business owners who have also gone through either children with health crises or their own health crises, or simply have had to navigate things because of resilience, like it also is like a connecting point. And so I think that when we tell those stories, we attract people who are like us or have the same values as us. And those are the kind of people that I want to work with. The people who I don't want to work with are the people who are so oriented around business that they've elevated business and work above being human, and there's no grace for the fact that we are being human. So I think that that's how stories like connect with each other, like help us connect with each other, but then also have helped me grow business, my business, because so many of our clients have been through so many of those things that now they are like, oh yeah, we know that like when we pay Julia, we pay Stratos, like it goes to pay for XYZ that like is she's passionate about or things like that. And so people get to see where their money goes. They get to see that they're supporting people that they love. And I think that in that regard, storytelling can really connect you with like the people who value the same things you do. So
absolutely. It's very powerful too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. And especially because I think we live in a culture where work has been elevated more than anything. Mm-hmm. And we often measure ourselves or measure others based on our productivity. And even myself, like full honesty, like when I spend the day with my daughter, who's 18 months old or almost 2 years old, I have a hard time counting that as productivity, like because it is not work per se. It is a lot of work.
Oh, it all is moms, capital WORK. Hello.
It is, yeah. But it is not like what we consider traditional work. Yeah. And so I think that in my mind, I feel like a less productive person. And so I think that when we can start sharing these stories about how we're human and the things that are important to us, yeah, it gives other people the permission to do the same thing. And it switches that, it switches the priorities on its head, where suddenly us being people is more important than like us being productive. So,
yeah, I see a lot of that happening on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Right. So you see people banding together because, you know, they're going through the same thing. And then other people in the comments are like, yeah, me too. Right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. And I think that does create a lot of what is it? What's the right word? Not followership, loyalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can create some loyalty, either brand loyalty, personal loyalty for the person, you know, that's having mm-hmm. gone through the thing. And it does add a lot of context. Right. So I think that's, I love storytelling. I used to be incredibly afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. Really? Tell Absolutely. Me more about that.
I did not want, I thought the business was the business and I just mm-hmm. was the person behind it.
Yeah.
Nobody needed to know the stories. But mm-hmm. I mean, when I have opened up and I have talked about how I became an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and I was corporately bullied mm-hmm. yeah. In a previous job, not the one that right before I left, but one previous to that. And it had an impactful mm-hmm. sort of thing. And then I had a terrible botched surgery thing mm-hmm. that, you know, even caused more trauma. Yeah. I was not able to work in a corporate environment anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah. like, but when you talk to people about that, then you have people who are like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, like, yeah, me too. Or yeah. I know I didn't fit in either, and things like that. And then you find, you kind of find your people.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I love that. And I think that those are incredible stories. And I'm sorry, like, those things happened to you. That really sucks. And it also, like, brought you to where you are right now. And I think that that's, if we're going to call something a silver lining, that's what it is. But I think that yeah. it can feel so intimidating to tell stories. And I want to encourage listeners, you don't have to start with, like, the hardest stuff. Like, no. You don't have to start there. One of the people don't think of this as a story, but it is. So if you go to our website and you go to our about page and you scroll all the way down, we have, like, literally every pet that any of my staff owns is on that page. And at first I was like, this is dumb. This is silly. Like, we don't need this. But I can't tell you how many sales calls I've been on and people are like, oh my gosh, I love your pets. And I'm such a dog person. That is, like, a story. Me being, like, a dog person is a story that is connecting with somebody else. I don't know.
Oh my God, I'm looking at it. It's your bonus team members, Lucy and Sushi yeah. and Moses and Arwen. Oh my yes. God. So
instantly that helps connect me with people who love pets. And suddenly, like, we are talking about how I have three dogs and they're all terrible and it's way too many to have. Like, and so we talk and we connect about those things. That is not a corporate bullying story. It's not, like, a surgery story. It's not a NICU story. It's not, like, a sexual harassment story. Like, you don't have to start with, like, the most painful parts. And I think it's better not to, because you really have to find some healing to those things, like, before, like, I love this quote. I think, I don't know who said it first, but, you want to share your scars, not your open wounds. Yes. And so I think that that's something that I think about is I don't share, like, what I'm going through right now.
No.
I share about things that happened, like, a few years ago that I have processed, like, with my therapist, things like that. And so if you are, like, intimidated by storytelling, start by talking about your pets, or your favorite coffee drink, or something that doesn't feel emotionally invasive, but mm-hmm. is going to connect with other people. Because chances are you'll also meet other pet people, or you'll also meet people who love, like, the same chai latte that you love, like, whatever it is. There are people that when you start telling these little stories, that, like, saying a fact, like, I love chai lattes doesn't feel like a story, but it is, like, a story in itself, or it is, like, the beginning of a story that people can ask you about. Like, tell me why, what's your favorite one? Like,
absolutely.
Where do you love to go? Things like that. And so I think that that's where storytelling doesn't have to be intimidating at the beginning. It is intimidating, and, like, but I think that like you were saying, like, it takes a while to figure out what stories you want to share and which ones you want to hold sacred to, like, yourself too.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Oh my gosh, that's got me thinking about when I started doing some storytelling. I started with a post about spoons.
Okay, you gotta tell me more about that.
I collect wooden okay. spoons.
Wooden spoons.
Ooh. Wooden spoons. For left-handed people.
Ooh, that is, like, that, if we're talking about niching, that's, like, a niche in itself. Like,
yep. And I have, so I posted years ago on Facebook, I posted, because mm-hmm. I was, like, freaked out about trying to do storytelling. And I'm like, okay, I bake, because I love to bake. And the story yeah. behind that is my grandfather taught me how to bake. And cool. he was a very important figure. And then uh-huh. I have these spoons. And they're left-handed yeah. spoons. I started collecting them. They were gifts, some of them. And then I started collecting them because, they're cool. They're very, like, they're artistic. The person who made them spent a lot of time on them. Mm-hmm. They look cool in the kitchen, like in yeah. a, you know, holder and everything. Mm-hmm. And I love them.
That's
and
awesome.
Over the years, everybody's like, wooden spoons are bad for your food. Meanwhile, they're the actual, like, wooden spoons apparently, and I'm happy to be wrong, but apparently don't hold the bacteria if you take care of them really, really well.
Okay, I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, long story short, I did a post about spoons. It went nuts. Yeah. It was the most viral thing I had done at that point. And and people started posting their thing and it was cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think you got to start with something that feels good.
And because Jenny, like at that point, like there's like so many questions that I have, like where it's like, I didn't know there were left-handed spoons. Like what's the difference? Like, I also am thinking about here are all of my collections. Like these are the things that I love. Or like, I think about my grandmother and her wooden spoons. Like, and then I think about like all of these things that create these connection points that suddenly like, we could be talking about wooden spoons and be like, how did we even get here? Like, how did we even start this conversation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Okay. So I'm going to put our team, the extras, your bonus team in the show notes, because I think people need to see this. We got to give Wally and Beans and Max and Greta some screen time on this. So in the show notes for this episode, I'll make sure to include the link. But let everybody know where they can find you, connect with you, get to know you better, and also what Stratos does.
Yeah, so Stratos, again, like our goal is to help business owners improve their relationships with social media, whether you're DIYing or whether you just don't even want to think about it and want somebody else to do it for you. So you can find us at stratoscreativemarketing.com. Stratos is STRATOS. It is confusing because everybody says it differently. I didn't think about that when I picked the name. And then we spend most of our time on Instagram at Stratos Creative. And if you want to come and find me and connect with me, I'm on Instagram at Julia Block Pearson. I post funny things about my kid, and that's where I practice like my own personal storytelling to figure out, okay, like what do I want to share, and like what am I going to share and then delete later because that was too vulnerable. So
oh my god, yeah, I've done that. I've done a reel and gone nope, that's not staying up. delete, make it hidden, get rid of it. Yep, done that. Yep. Oh my gosh, awesome. We will make sure that all that's there. I'm actually going to include the book. While we were talking, I actually looked up Susan Payton, The Business of Stories. So I'm going to include the link to that as well, because I love collecting lists of books that other people love.
She's so good. She and I have been in a certification program together, and we came in together. So I've known her since like before she like wrote this book, and her methodology, like when I read this book, I read it in like 2 or 3 days because I was like, this is genius. And she walks you through like how to tell your personal stories, how to tell them in relationship to your business, how to tell your business's story, how to tell your customer's story, like all of these stories that we should be telling you. She makes it super, super practical. So
cool. Yeah, I'll get that in there. We'll have all of your social links as well. Thank you so much, Julia. This has been fantastic and fun.
Love it.
And gone on longer than I probably thought it would, but I love every minute. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course, Jenny. Thank you.
Absolutely. And this is the Acquire Podcast, produced and edited by Jason Wheeler. If you found today's episode to be helpful, please don't forget to subscribe. I'd love if you'd let me know what you think. Think about leaving a review, and wherever you listen to podcasts, it's totally fine. And if you want to be part of my growing community, please consider following me on my social platforms. I'm always on Instagram, and joining my Facebook group as well. And I'll put that link in the show notes. And I'm really excited to keep delivering great content with this, you know, this podcast and everything else that I'm doing. And as always, the Acquire Podcast is brought to you by the Audphonic Podcast Network. Thank you so much.